Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Play right there by Brandon Pajemski. And the lead is 11. Another turnover. Butler the other way. And that puts an exclamation mark on this 10-point game.
My goodness, what a flurry.
The Rockets played their first playoff game in half a decade. And they lost to the Warriors again. But I'm going to quote a wise philosopher here. For a moment, a wise philosopher who came up with these words in 2003. So I'm outside of the club and you think I'm a punk. So I go to my loaded Tech 9 that's off in the trunk. I told that mother lover, I ain't never scared. East side, I ain't never scared. West side, I ain't ever scared. South side, I ain't never scared. North side, I ain't never scared. South side, I ain't never scared. East side, I ain't never scared. West side. Yeah, that's right. I just quoted wise philosopher Bone Crusher from his album Attention, the song Never Scared. Because even though the Rockets at times were getting stuffed in a locker by the Golden State Warriors, I'm actually not that upset or concerned about the game one loss. And maybe I'm crazy here, 713-780-3776 to call. It's a text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. But I feel like the Rockets in this game played so poorly from a shooting perspective, there's no way they'll do that again. And when you consider that, considering a game where they had 16 turnovers, where they shot 55% from the free throw line, where they shot 20% from outside, where Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet were a combined 7 for 37, this team still had a chance to win with about 5 minutes to play in a game where Steph Curry went off. I feel pretty good. Again, you're down 1-0, but it's a 7-game series, and that could have been a lot worse. So I'm actually feeling pretty good going into game two on Wednesday night. I mean, Steph Curry is incredible. And in that game, Steph was shooting shots rolling to his right while falling down. Steph Curry was hitting shots from half court. And he's always capable of doing that. But do you think he's going to do that in every single game? I'm sure there will be a game where the Rockets are actually able to slow him down a little bit. I would imagine it happens later in the series because the Warriors after the game were talking about how much of an impact rest had on them, on how well they played, specifically in the last couple of minutes of the game. And I know Jimmy Butler played well too in his return to the greater Houston area, even though he refuses to acknowledge Houston as his hometown. He's from Tomball. His possessions slowed things down. When they would turn it over to him, the Warriors would give it over to him. In the last couple of situations where the Rockets seemed to be clawing back in, they'd give it to Jimmy Butler. The pace would slow down, and Butler would generally do something with it. And there's a reason the Warriors are 25-8 since they brought him aboard. But in a game where Steph Curry played awesome, superhero level, where Jimmy Butler also played well, and where all Rockets starters not named Alperen Şengün, who was great, especially early on, really struggled. It sucks that they lost, but I'm feeling A-OK going into game two.
And perhaps I'm crazy on that front. Clearly, they need a closer of some sort. They got to have somebody at the end of the game who can create his own shot. Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet are the only two guys on this team that can create their own shot. And hell, I'd say this about Alperen Şengün in this game. He was a little bit lucky that he wasn't called for, I don't know, 5-6 travels. The amount of pivots that he was doing on multiple feet, probably illegal. That's at least the way I understand travels in basketball in 2025. Could be wrong. But anyway, Şengün, he played well. Steven Adams off the bench, Jabari Smith, played well. The Rockets, this is the edge that they have on the Warriors that actually has me feeling all right. They're way bigger than Golden State. I mean, Golden State doesn't have an answer size-wise for him. Draymond is the best they can do at 6'6". They just don't have that. And while the Warriors did play physical, there's no doubt about it, and the refs let them play, which I really liked seeing both ways. I look at that Rockets team who was saying, yeah, we could have been more physical in this one. And with the way that they dominated the rebounding glass, I feel pretty good. Maybe I'm crazy. Again, they won the rebounding battle 52-36. They had 22 offensive rebounds. I mean, that might be unsustainable. The 22 second chance points as well. I think it's the most the Rockets have had in a playoff game since 2016, which also happened against the Warriors. But there's a strength that the Rockets have that the Warriors clearly don't have. Can you just outsize them? Can you just outmuscle them in a series where it is going to be largely, I would imagine, defensive-oriented? Of course you got Steph. Of course you got Jimmy Butler. And the Rockets really have no one other than Alperen Şengün from an offensive perspective like that. But if you just body this team for a full series, are you going to see more of what you saw when Steven Adams and Jabari Smith were out there, along with Şengün? I feel like there's a good chance you would. So while you want a closer for next year, that's what you're definitely thinking going into not just game two, but potentially into the offseason, regardless of whether or not the Rockets win this series, lose this series, advance far in the playoffs. You are wondering about finding that consistent guy who can actually get his own shot and regularly make his own shot. But I feel all right. I feel all right about where the Rockets are after one game. If you think I'm crazy, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Sean Mapes, the producer of the Paul Gallant Show. Am I crazy to feel like this game one loss for the Rockets, which at times was very ugly for them, is actually a not too bad sign about this series going forward?
You're not crazy for that. I think that you're just like a couple notches more optimistic about it than I am, just in the fact that this is kind of what we've seen from Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet.
Well, there's that.
Throughout the year, like, this isn't a complete anomaly clunker. I guess the anomaly is that it's both the worst game basically that you get from both these guys happening at the same time. That's a little bit of like, well, normally one of them's at least decent. But I think that for the most part, you do bring up good points of just like, some of these shots that, especially VanVleet, was missing. Like, he was just open. Like, yeah. He was open. The ball didn't go in. He did force it a couple times late. There's one on, I want to say it was second half, maybe the fourth quarter.
It was the top of the three-point line where
in transition,
he was
moving. Right. Where you're just like,
it was like, dude, Steph is doing that. You're not Steph. Yeah. I get it being confident about your shot and saying, hey, I can miss 20 shots. I'll still take shot number 21, even if I'm 0 for 20. I get that. But that one was unnecessary. It felt rushed.
Yeah. I think that I think that for the most part, though, this was kind of the series that we envision kind of like playing out in front of us. Maybe a little bit worse from the backcourt and a little bit better from Alperen Şengün, who I thought was awesome, especially in the first half.
Oh, he was so good in the first 5 minutes.
Only guy who can put the ball in the hole.
He had 8 and 5 in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they took him off the court.
Yeah.
I really, if I'm second guessing anyone after this game, obviously Fred VanVleet, but we've done this before.
Yeah. Jalen Green.
Quick note on Jalen Green. Green, I felt like, had bad luck in this game. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I felt like he was getting the wrong end of the iron several times. Like, because he had open looks, and it just wasn't falling. So hopefully, as he said after the game, that this to me, hey, it's just one game. I'm going to shake this off. Because I thought he did well on the other side of things at the very least. I thought he made up for it. I thought he did good on the glass. I thought he was pretty good defensively.
The small things he was pretty good at. There's one, you know, it's just Steph Curry's going to run off 10,000 screens.
And oh, yeah.
He screwed up a couple times. Not the end of the world. But and Steph still had to make like a 35-footer.
Exactly.
It was the one where he got mixed up with Amin. I think that Jalen Green, this was a bad outcome. Obviously, it was a bad game for him. I think the matchup hunting to get Steph on him, I think that's a little bit like, hey, listen, that's what the Cavs did with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. Like, I don't know if we need to be doing that with Jalen Green. I think we can just run our offense here. I don't know if we need to slow it down this much, especially when Jalen Green wasn't, like, obviously cooking him. He was still getting contested layups or having to pass out while getting caught up in the air. So I think if he plays a little bit faster on offense, I think that would solve a little bit of the problems, because these Rockets possessions, they would just get so bogged down.
Exactly.
Because, especially when the lineups where there's no Şengün, like, there just was no place to go for offense.
They were saying after the game they need to get out and run more, and I mean, they had 4 fast break points all game, which is a very low number.
And one of those was first quarter, Tari Eason.
So, clearly, they need to shoot better, and yeah, there needs to be better offense and more pace, but I would say of the many things you could question last night, I would say Ime Udoka had a couple of head scratchers. First off, Jalen Green didn't play much early on, and I was wondering why. There was a moment where he had, by far, among Rocket starters, the fewest minutes. We're talking like 3 less than second to last, which was Şengün. He had 9 minutes for the first, I think, like 16, 17 minutes. So I was wondering if he was hurt. But it was the minutes that he gave Udoka, Steven Adams and Jabari Smith. Clearly, they need more. And I know they got a pretty good amount, and he's only playing 8 guys, but to take Adams off the court for the last 5 minutes of the game when things were actually going really well for the Rockets with Adams out there, I get that Adams might be tired and all that, but I think you got to play to your strengths here. So really, if anything, I'm second-guessing Ime Udoka after this one, where I know Van Vliet's going to have games like this. I know Jalen Green's going to have games like this. I need Udoka to adapt to what he saw out there. And after the game, he was asked about it. He was coy. He said, listen, guys are going to miss shots. You know, these things happen. I'm sure he's used to it with this team specifically. But I do hope that he realizes they have a huge edge, literally just a huge edge on Golden State from we're bigger than them and we can theoretically push them around, especially if the refs continue to let that series play the way that game one played, where everything was on the table. I enjoyed how physical they let them play.
Yeah, there's really only like the third quarter where it felt like it bogged down a little bit, but that was also the Rockets were down 20, so that just was, it might have just been like emotionally, it just felt more bogged down because Toyota Center was kind of out of it. I was kind of out of it, and they're shooting a bunch of free throws in the third quarter. But I think that for the most part, I think that the double big stuff worked about as well as you could imagine it worked, especially with Steph Curry on the court. I thought that it was going to be something that the Rockets could only really do in the minutes that Steph is out, because even in the first half, like, Steph absolutely cooked Steven Adams the one time he was on him, and immediate timeout to get Adams out of there from Udoka. I the sub out with 5 minutes left, I get it, just because he had played so much. It's a little bit of like the, you know, we didn't think it would work this well. We didn't think we would need to close it for him. Because Adams had played the entire fourth quarter up until then, if not pretty close.
Probably.
Up until the 5-minute mark. And just given like how much they were down early, the Rockets were down to 1 timeout with like 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think that was a huge deal. To me, it was more going back to the full starting lineup with 5 minutes left. That's where I could have done, you know, Jabari Smith instead of Jalen Green. You're playing a little bit bigger, because I think Jabari was really good. I even think Tari Eason was 3-for-10. I thought he played pretty well.
I was surprised seeing his numbers afterwards. I thought
he was mostly good. I could have gone for one of those guys out there instead of one of the guards the last 5 minutes. But that's kind of a little bit nitpicky. I think that for the most part, though, you are right that coming out of game one, I've the most questions for Ime Udoka. Just how are we going to do this? And it is kind of a juggling act, because he does need to find out a way to keep offense on the court.
Yes.
Because there's a moment without, it was no Green, no Şengün.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell?
And no wonder Warriors went on a huge run the second quarter.
Exactly.
Because they kept turning the ball over with that lineup.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. You want to weigh in on the Rockets? Game one loss to the Golden State Warriors, 95-85. You can. I'm not feeling so bad about it. On the other side, there's something that I've been semi in the closet about that I need to tell you about. Is this what you've always been waiting to hear? I guess you have to stick around to find out on the other side. The Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I'm feeling pretty good about the Rockets, even though they just lost by 10 points in Game 1 to the team that owns them historically in the playoffs, the Golden State Warriors. 95-85, the final score last night at Toyota Center. An observation about Toyota Center. I was at the game. So, it was not a full crowd, which Sean and I expected, given that it was Easter night. I think the Rockets do some tricky stuff, so it looks a little more crowded than you'd think, because there's red lights that they have flashing often during the commercial break. So, it's got this red glare ambiance, and you don't see as many of the empty seats.
Also, the t-shirts help.
Right, because they're on the seats that no one's sitting in. So they did some clever disguising here. But all that said, the energy was great last night. Considering it was a largely, I would say until halftime, it felt fairly empty. And I get it, it's Easter, but guys.
Sunday Night Baseball, also, Paul. I didn't think of that excuse until last night.
I mean,
Sunday Night Baseball.
I mean,
head to head with the Astros.
Sean, it's one of those things where I get frustrated often when I see the crowd and I'm like, do people even care about sports here? I do that every now and then. But the people who were there, you guys were loud. So at the very least, there was some good energy there. Unfortunately, the Rockets had a couple of stretches in this game where they completely looked lost. And a couple of guys, Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, took them apart. Couple of texts in from Eric the Driver. I think he's tried to rhyme. Chicken fried, weak side, make Steph cry, Rockets in five. Pop fly, freeze dried, poke Draymond in the eyes, Rockets in five. High rise, nose dives, Paul likes guys, Rockets in five. All from Eric the Driver there. Thank you, Eric the Driver.
Still on the table. Rockets in five is still on the table.
Rockets in five is still on the table. I still think they're going to win in seven. I feel a little bit better, all things considered, than in a game where they got every single ridiculous shot from Steph Curry, where Jimmy Butler played well, that they were hanging around at the end. I feel a little better. This was a better Golden State Warriors game. Someone texted in saying, didn't Golden State do just as bad as the Rockets? So they too can improve just as much, if not more. Okay, you're really expecting guy whose name I refuse to acknowledge, Mr. I am a white guy cosplaying as Patrick Mahomes. What's his face?
Brandon Podziemski.
Yeah, that effing guy. Like, that guy.
Hey, he was the third leading scorer.
14 points?
Yeah, 14 loud points.
Because the team is not good. I mean, I get it. They're Golden State, but this is not a good Golden State team. That guy's actually playing. So, they have a shot. This is not the Warriors team of old. I'm not intimidated by a 10-point loss where, yes, the Rockets had awful performances from two of their most important ball handlers, but they still dominated on the glass, and I feel like that's going to add up over the course of a series, especially if it goes long, because I don't see what the Warriors do against those big bodies.
And you hope that you get a little bit of playoff sea legs from Jalen Green, especially. He needs it the most. I think Amin Thompson, first three quarters, was a little bit of... I'm glad you showed up in the second half. I'm glad the Amin Thompson that's been here all season finally got to the arena in time for the fourth quarter, because I thought he was bad on offense and only okay on defense early in the game, and I think he really kind of he found something. Maybe it's just he got used to how they're playing, how the Warriors are playing him. got used to just the environment because this is the biggest game he's ever played in. So I think that Amin Thompson kind of, again, I view it as just finding your sea legs as a first-time playoff participant. I think that he's I'm not even worried about it. It's just something I think will go the Rockets' favor is that you'll probably get better Thompson. Some of this is also informed that his brother also played poorly in the first game. And I was like, huh, Asar Thompson played poorly too.
That twin.
I know, the energy was just off.
Twin connection, yeah. Right. Someone pointed out on YouTube, Trill O'Reilly, Amin Thompson didn't look like himself at all last night at ESPN Houston on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm with you. He didn't seem like the guy that we're used to. I feel better about it. Game two for Jalen Green. Game two for Amin Thompson. I don't think Green was a lost cause out there. And Fred VanVleet just has games like this. You just have to accept it. This is part of the Fred VanVleet experience, much like it was part of the James Harden experience back in the day. Occasionally, Harden would give you a clunker. Fred VanVleet obviously gives you significantly more clunkers than Harden does.
Doesn't give you the upside.
But you generally would get a 1-for-15 night from Harden a month or so.
Especially like a 3-for-19 playoff game. Like that is James Harden to the core.
It's time, guys. It is time for me to get out of the closet. And I'm only halfway in the closet on this. You know, if you've been listening to this show, you know already. I love Steph Curry. I don't care who knows it. I don't care who knows it. Oh, he chews his mouth guard wrong and he always bullies the Rockets. Well, those Rockets teams, guess what, guys, weren't likable. They weren't. And Steph was. I have been in love with Steph Curry. Not like that. I have been in love with watching Steph Curry all the way back to 2008 and March Madness when he was with Davidson. I love watching that guy play. I hate that in today's basketball culture, there are so many people who root for one player. But if I had to root for one player, if you put a gun to my head and said you had to root for a player, I would pick Steph Curry. I wouldn't pick a Boston Celtic. I would pick Steph Curry. I love watching that guy play. I think he's one of the best to ever play the game. I think he's better than Kobe. Kiss my ass, Kobe stands. I love Steph Curry. Before the game, I'm underneath the basket, standing on the court, watching the Warriors do shoot around. Steph Curry is literally screwing around, dribbles underneath the hoop, throws a ball into outer space, straight up in the air. Bloop. It didn't even touch the net as it dropped through. And I saw that and I thought to myself, well, that's Steph Curry. This could be a bad sign. And then Steph Curry started doing Steph Curry stuff. I think this is maybe the best shot I've ever seen live at a basketball game. This is Steph Curry dribbling to the right side of the three-point line and falling into the first row seats to hit a three.
Moody will drive. Şengün will defend. Curry's got it. He and Butler, as I said, 18 apiece. He'll dance. He'll throw up a shot.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
Geometrically, that should not have happened. Wow, what a shot.
Kevin Harlan's the best as well. That was insane. And I'm sitting there watching this with Ross from the Rockets flagship and with Brandon Scott from the Texans flagship. I'm sitting in between them. And we're both like trying not to be that meme of the guy who's falling forward after someone just got dissed. If you haven't seen that one before, I mean, I was covering my mouth because I was trying to be professional.
Yeah, no cheering in the press box.
No cheering in the press box. But I mean, and again, it's happening against the Rockets, who I like, but I mean, good God. And he had multiple moments like this all night long. Yeah. 31 points is one thing, but the way he was doing some of the stuff he was doing, this is the other moment. Steph Curry, one of two times where he is not quite at midcourt, but just decides to pull from near a logo that's either at midcourt or the Toyota Center logo, and obviously is going in.
It's a Curry three. Ring it up! With a triple.
He's having wars over here. Shot clock at 6. Curry just runs into a 30-footer. Just think about that.
I did think about that, Reggie. I thought about it long and hard. I thought about it long and hard all night. I'm obsessed with Steph. And everyone should be allowed to be obsessed with Steph Curry, even if he's doing it to your team. You're allowed to like him. Oh, but he chews his mouth guard weird. He's kind of cocky. Yeah, I would be too. If I'm shooting like that, you know? Oh, my God. The stuff that he does as a scorer, never saw it before. Not sure we'll ever see it again. I see Megas in here doing his 90s, but oh, they don't play defense. Okay, you good luck. Good luck. Good luck, old school. Old school would be shocked and awed if this guy came in a time machine and showed up and just started bombing from everywhere. No one did that.
Yeah, I was going to say, they only play defense from like 20 feet and in.
Hell, he might get benched by some random coach from the 90s. Like, what the hell are you doing? I love watching it. Hell, I'm even going to allow this Jimmy Butler quote. Jimmy Butler's been saying some strange things about Steph Curry. Generally, they're all related to Batman and Robin, and Jimmy Butler's okay being Robin, which is a weird thing to admit, to Steph Curry's Batman, even though obviously Steph Curry would be Batman on any team. Here's more Jimmy Butler making Batman comparisons.
There was one three-point shot that Stephen made. He was like floating off in motion, and we panned over to a shot of you, and you're just shaking your head. I mean, the man continues to amaze, doesn't he?
He does. Like I always say, Batman comes out of nowhere. You never see him coming, then he just falls from the sky, from a building, behind a door, and does some incredible things, man. He's going to be the reason that we do win at all. We all know that, but we got to protect him at all costs.
Congrats on the first road win. Thanks, Jimmy.
That is accurate. That is how Batman be. Batman do be like that. Just coming out of nowhere, chopping down.
And that kind of was what Steph did. Like, it was a 31 point. It was, what, five for nine from three.
It's Ninja Sniper Bleep.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a dominant, like, no, there wasn't a run where he went on where it's like four straight times down the court. He made,
yeah.
It was like whenever the game was starting to teeter for the Warriors, it was just boom, like ridiculous three-pointer.
The stuff he does, when he does it, it is jarring how awesome it is.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, there was a time where he split defenders and just dribbles through the lane. Easily gets a layup. Oh, but in the 90s, he'd get decked. Okay, cool. Cool, man. I love this. Oh, the 90s were different. No, Steph would have played well in the 90s. Just like LeBron would have played well in the 90s. We got to stop acting like the best players from today could not go back in time and play in that generation. I mean, we got to stop with that crap. What's he going to do? Is someone going to go Tonya Harding on his leg? Like, is that what's going to happen? Like, that's the implication that's going to happen out there. That's what drives me crazy about the people that are like, oh, Steph's not one of the greatest. Why? Because he's skinny. Is that why? Are you skinny, sis?
Yeah. And it's like, Michael Jordan invented basketball players lifting weights in, like, 1990. they weren't all – people realize these games are televised and, like, you can just pull up a game and not see assault on every play. Yeah. Like how these people portray it.
Yeah.
35 years later.
Yeah, you're also going to see somebody who's as athletic as me out there occasionally playing defense.
There's a lot of guys with
we hadn't tapped into Europe yet. We had not tapped into overseas yet. Taking our American jobs.
I mean, also 95-85. That's a 1994 box score if I've ever seen it. One team couldn't make threes.
This was a 90s basketball.
The Rockets played a 90s basketball.
I figured Meg on the Twitch would understand what 90s basketball looks like. I don't know. I guess he just doesn't know ball, but it's fine. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We'll take a look back at what happened with the Astros this weekend. I went to the game on Friday and saw something that should have all of you as excited as I am when I watch Steph Curry. You know what else gets me excited? A brand new sponsor on the Paul Gallant Show. Rize. R-I-I-Z-E. RizeHealth.com. Okay, guys. We all want to have that spark for the entirety of our life, right? Well, you get old. Sometimes things don't exactly work the way that they want it. Rize has brought something different to the table. RIIZE.com. RizeHealth.com. They have a revolutionary, rapid, enhanced, dissolving strip that combines sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. Oh, it's very superior. And you'll rise up, you'll rise up, right? Because it's R-I-I-Z-E. Rise up, you'll rise up. And guess what? Everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to have a glorious time on a trip to Afternoon Delight. Dissolves in seconds. You don't need water. It works on a full stomach, and it's got everything. And if you go to Rize, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com, and enter promo code 975, you're going to get 20% off your first order. Huh? Try it out. It ain't a pill. It's a strip. You put it under your tongue. Boing! RizeHealth.com. It's Rize, R-I-I-Z-E. Rise up!
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I demanded a sweep out of the Houston Astros on Friday. I demanded a sweep. Sean Mabes behind the glass shaking his head. Sean, they almost gave me that.
Dad, they let you down on Sunday.
Here's what's happened with the Astros in my weekend demands the last 2 weekends. It's like dating somebody who takes forever to get ready. You tell the person to be ready by a time that you know they won't be ready at. And then you guess, based off of the time you've given them, how much longer, how late they will be relative to that time. Every guy has done this, right? If you have dated somebody who is slow to get ready, which is literally all women. I mean, no offense to the ladies out there. I'm pretty slow getting ready myself. But you ask for something that's impossible, and generally you're going to be met somewhere in the middle. It's a compromise of sorts. And the Astros have compromised with my weekend demands the last 2 weekends. I asked for 15 runs Friday, last weekend. And guess what? Friday, I got 15 runs in the Space City jerseys. This weekend, I demanded a sweep. I got a gentleman's sweep, right? 2 out of 3 against the best team in baseball. So they're still a game under 500, but they finally got 2 wins in a row. And Friday night, I actually went to Daikin Park. And at Daikin Park, which was surprisingly electric for a Friday in April, it was maybe the most lit I've seen Daikin Park in over a year. I felt like it was more lit than the Tigers games, which understandably those games against the Tigers were at 3 in the afternoon. But at that game, everyone lost their collective minds when Cam Smith, with 2 runners on, did this.
Got his first base hit of his career against the lefty. He hits it deep to left field. That ball's gone. 3-run shot for Cam Smith. Out in front, 3-1.
Wham, bam. Thank you, Cam.
Do we like that? Sean's laughing. Do we like that? I mean, Jeff Blum, he's an artist, color commentator on the Space City Home Network. He's going to be workshopping some things.
I enjoy that.
I didn't mind it.
Wham, bam. Thank you, Cam.
Wham, bam. Thank you, Cam. Simple rhymes.
Family friendly.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Did he do it for Cam Smith's second home run on Friday night against the Padres?
Cam makes a bid towards left field for a 2-home run game. That ball is gone! Back to back Jackson, 2 at-bats for Cam. And the Astros lead this game 5-2.
Do it again. Damn it. Jeff, come on. You had something. You had a spark. You You got to feed it fuel. Cam Smith had a good weekend. And Cam Smith's also showing more defensively than I thought he would. There's been a couple of times where runners have shown an awful lot of respect to Cam Smith, considering he's in his first 20 games as a right fielder. I mean, they're waiting very nervously to see if he's going to make throws after he catches ball. And he had one catch on Friday, really good game for him, down the right field line, which was a difficult catch for a lot of right fielders. I think the catch probability was 60% or something like that. Again, I'm sorry for bringing up catch probability, but it was a nice play. And he's really good at squaring up after he catches the ball. And clearly he's been working on that. I like what we're seeing. This is a lot more, honestly, than I expected us to see. I did not expect a 2-home run game against the best team in the major leagues.
No,
on Friday.
That, no.
Did not expect that at all this year, honestly. Like a 2-home run game against the A's or the Angels, sure. 2-home run game against the Padres in front of a jacked crowd at Daikin Park. All right.
And especially seeing it this early. Like, I can live with the ups and downs of Cam Smith if you're getting these kind of ups this early. Like, and like you said, game 20 of his MLB career and game 20 of his right field career, maybe like 25, because he played a handful of right field before this year, but not much. I mean, I know that it's going to be rough around the edges. I know there's going to be some at-bats where it's a ugly strikeout or just it's stuff that he hasn't seen before and it looks like it. But, I mean, not just him at the plate, but also, like you said, the plays that he makes in the outfield, it is a little bit of like, okay. Like,
right.
Weirdly, he does the hard stuff very well. I don't know if he's making easy stuff look hard or whatever, but he does the hard stuff and we're like, okay. And then some of the more fundamental stuff, you're like, all right.
Right. There's certainly some moments, but he has a weird amount of respect from the other team, even if he is definitely far from a finished product as a right fielder. And King of Twitch brought that up. It's not exactly always great. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Like, he gets a lot of respect. You'd think he'd get tested more.
I guess just because if there's one thing you're sure about a guy who came up as a third baseman, it's like, probably has a good gun. So
yeah,
probably that's on the scouting report. Although, I'm with you where I'm surprised we don't see it tested a little bit more, just like,
yeah,
especially if you have one of the faster guys on your team on the bases, like, let's just give it a shot. I get why, you know, a slower guy wouldn't try it, but, you know, if Tatis wanted to try him, like, I would expect Tatis to do that.
Cam Smith, 2 home runs on Friday. The Astros take 2 of 3 from the Padres over the weekend. Smith's on a 3-game hitting streak. How about that? You want to weigh in on the Astros series victory over the Padres, you can. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. I am proud of this city for something that they were able to do this weekend. Something I saw not just once, but twice. What's that? I'll describe on the other side. Stay put.
ESPN 975. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. I see a lot of people are wondering whether or not I actually love sports and the Twitch, which is a regular occurrence. I am a phenomenal entertainer, but I'm also a cynic that sometimes does hate everything. You know, it's a struggle I must carry with me into every single second of my life. But I tossed aside my entertainer cap for a Big J journalist cap over the weekend. That's right, everybody. I put on a Scally cap, like my name was Sully from Southie, on Friday and on Sunday. And I sat amongst the ranks of serious sports journalists. So Friday I went to Daikin Park. Gotta say, vibes, immaculate. That's the most fun Daikin Park has been in quite some time. And I don't know why it was. Is it because the Padres were in town? Best team in baseball. Seems to be a sizable amount of Padres fans who live here in Houston. Was it because of the return of the greatest catcher in baseball history, Martin Maldonado, who's hitting 257 after two hits yesterday? Did you see that poll that was put up on the Space City Home Network? Who is the greatest catcher in Houston Astros history? And the poll results, it got almost 50% voting for Martin Maldonado, where Brad Ausmus, who probably should get it, got 23%. Brian McCann, 18%. Alan Ashby, 14%. Maldonado, 45%. Based on team success, which Astros catcher should be the greatest of all time? Considered the greatest of all time. It's obviously based on the success, but Maldonado, baby!
The Space City Home Network definitely knew what they're doing by throwing in, based on team success, who's the best of these guys? Because if they didn't throw in that caveat, maybe Martin Maldonado, he definitely doesn't run away with it. Might not win it. But then when you throw in the, based on the success of the team, who's the best catcher?
I teared up when he came to the plate. Teared up.
Do you want the game to stop? Just
yeah, the
soak
fireworks
it in for a second.
The fireworks that they played during the home runs and the fireworks they played after the game because it was Friday. Those fireworks should have gone off when Maldonado came to the plate. And I told a couple of the beat writers that a tear came to my eye when Maldonado came up to the plate. They were very annoyed with this comment. I think they know I was being somewhat sarcastic, but was I? Because a tear did roll down my cheek when Maldonado came up to the plate. Same thing when I saw Yuli Gurriel as well. It was cool. So maybe that's why there were so many Astros fans there on Friday. But, I mean, it was lit. And I'm going to take it a little further here. The wave actually was cool for a change. I know. The wave of all things. There was a wave that took place during the game. And it got Cam Smith excited. I mean, all the Astros were talking about the wave after the game. It was a loud wave. It was a very, very, very inclusive wave. Everyone was doing it. Everyone. And I like that kind of thing. Because, listen, baseball sometimes drags a little bit. Drags less these days. But, come on, it's a sport that takes a while. There's a lot of time between pitches and you got to do something because the lines for the LT Empa Margaritas were the longest lines I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the per sources, the lines for the LT Empa Margaritas were the longest that there's ever been. Per sources, of course. I would never do that in the midst of a game. They were insane. Absolutely insane. The express line was longer than the food line for the margaritas. They ran out of frozens. So they only had the regular ones. And I'm more of a frozen guy. Paul, isn't that a sign of something? Whatever. Frozen means more bang for your buck. And a little brain freeze on top of that. But it was crowded. The only thing from Friday at Daikin Park that was a bummer to me was this. The air conditioning has not improved. I was excited. They're sponsored by an air conditioning company. Nah. But you guys did well Friday. You guys did well this whole weekend series against the Padres. Those were some pretty good crowds. They took 2 of 3. And while we're on giving the Astros fans some credit to the Toyota Center people who showed up. Now, it's a playoff game. It's the Warriors. It's your arch nemesis. I would have thought more people would have showed up for the game, but there was a lot of people there. Truly, it was a crowded kind of vibe. Yeah, not crowded. Crowd is the wrong word. The energy was there while the people were not. I don't know why I said the crowd was there. I think this is me being a little tired from wrapping up my live stream last night at about 2:15 or so.
Yeah.
Little loopy, but
they fought with the strength of 1,000. Every person in there fought with the strength of 100 other red rowdies.
Oh yeah. It was like, yes, there's the section of the red rowdies. Shout out to Maya, Rockets fan of the year.
Oh wow.
OG listener. But every single member of the Toyota Center faithful, outside of all the insufferable douches wearing Warriors stuff, there was far too many Warriors fans there, but everyone who was wearing red, you guys gave me liftoff. Hashtag liftoff.
How was the participation with the playoff t-shirts? Because this is something I've noticed this year.
A lot especially. Of people were wearing them. I don't like it when they shame somebody that's wearing the other team's jersey into wearing it, unless it's someone who looks like a douche, right?
Yeah, because then you're just giving – it's like giving everyone permission just to boo this random person.
Yeah, exactly. Because the one person that I saw on the Jumbotron that they shamed into wearing red, it was some girl who – might have been in college, might have been a teenager. It was one of those ones where you're like, come on, can we force somebody that doesn't deserve to be booed? Because she also complied very quickly as well. So couldn't we find somebody else? Because there are a lot of douchey-looking Warriors fans out there who I'm sure are bandwagoners to the core. And I've said follow the strong before, but it's a little different when I can tell you're not actually a Golden State Warriors fan and you're at a playoff game playing against the Rockets. There were a lot of Warriors fans there. That was really the only drawback, though. And a moment during the game where the Toyota Center scoreboard with the Rockets down 20 points posted a message that I thought was soft and definitely something you would post when you're down 20. They posted this. On the Jumbotron, basketball is a beautiful game built on respect. Regardless of the team you're rooting for, remember to treat the fans, arena staff, players, and officials with respect. Enjoy the game and go Rockets. Don't post that when they're down 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, were they worried about what people were going to call Fred VanVleet?
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps, dude. Anyway, the vibes were immaculate this weekend. I was at Daikin Park. I was at Toyota Center. And the people who did show up on Easter weekend, you guys did good. Paul Galancha, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. This Rockets player is perhaps in the most trouble for his performance last night. How bad was it, and do we expect it to happen again? We'll discuss. It's the Paul Galancha. Stick around.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.